The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, just above the beautiful Alto Forno Restaurant, which is located right across the street from the North Shore Mall. Hey, have you seen? It looks like the Bancroft's ready to open. That should be a nice addition to the North Shore Mall's collection of restaurants. A few others looking to open up in the next few days. And yeah, word on the street is there might even be a Tesla that might show up within the next 12 months or so over at the North Shore Mall as well. We are well into spring. Red Sox have started their season. They started off pretty well, actually, starting out with a lot of wins and only that first loss to start things off. They're looking good. Xander Bogaerts out for a couple weeks or so. He'll get all healed back, but looks like the Red Sox have plenty of depth. Celtics, they're heading into the playoffs. Looks like they'll do okay without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. We know Gordon wasn't going to be there, but now that we know Kyrie's not going to be there, might be tough for the Celtics to progress all that far through the playoffs, but we'll be cheering them on right along because there's a lot of young kids helping them out throughout the season. Bruins in the playoffs as well, and Patriots start some training camp or something that they start up in the next few weeks. Anyways, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about money and financial advice in a language you can understand. This past Tuesday, we celebrated our 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore, in the Merrimack Valley, in the Southern New Hampshire area. I was delighted to be a guest on with Dana and Muggs this past Tuesday. They helped me come in for a little celebratory conversation. We talked about all things money. And I did want to tell you about something that I did this past week because it's really been a big feature and focus of our conversations over the past week or two. As last Sunday, when I was on the show, I had Marianne Clancy and David Florine both in town to help talk about a new piece of legislature that is being presented at the State House on infusing financial life skills into the core curriculum at the public schools. Wouldn't that be nice? Think about that. Wouldn't that be nice if your kids actually knew a little bit about money? They started to understand and not make silly and stupid decisions about money. But look, we all make stupid decisions about money. Maybe our kids can do a little bit better. Did you know that the average person today has $8,000 outstanding in credit card debt? Average household, $16,000. And unfortunately, some of you may be listening to this show saying, that's all? That's pretty scary. I mean, we don't need to have that kind of debt out there. Our savings rate in America is horrible. Did you know that in India, and many people know that I've been to India a few times, where I will tell you, if you make $50,000 a year in India, you're considered amongst the top 1%. That's right. The top 1% if you make more than $50,000 a year in India, and they on average save 30% of their income. Yeah, you heard that right. They save 30% of their income. Isn't that insane? We're lucky here to do 5%. But we're willing to go into debt. We're willing to take out mortgages bigger than what we can probably afford. We're willing to finance our cars, finance everything, put debts on a department store credit cards. But in other parts of the country, they are a lot more resistant to debt. They want to pay cash. They want to build wealth. They want to prepare for the future. And that's what we're really here to do each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., to provide you with that financial advice in a language you can understand so you can get started. So here's a basic piece of advice that we talked about this past Monday, when I visited Phillips Exeter Academy in Exeter, New Hampshire. Thank you to Rob Morris, who listens to the show. He heard me on a couple weeks ago, And he dropped me an email, asked if I'd be willing to come out to speak to his senior classes. And I did. I did it on Monday to give him a little reality check, a life skills conversation, and frankly, to scare him a little bit, too. And I think that's what I did effectively. And by the way, before I tell you what we talked about there, I will tell you this. If you or anybody that you know would like to have me come in to talk to your classroom, talk to your kids in the school, or have a big boy conversation or a big girl conversation, I'm happy to come to your local church, temple, library, any type of philanthropic group, Rotary, Kiwanis, any of that stuff. I'll go out. I'll make the presentation for you. There's no cost at all to you. In fact, I'll even bring the beverages or refreshments that are necessary. So let me know. My phone number at the office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And if you'd like to get my newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning, it is called Planning Pointers. It comes out, like I said, each and every Friday at 10:30. Go to friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. So let me tell you about what we talked about in this classroom. There was about 15 kids at the Phillips Exeter first class that I attended. And I began to tell them about banking. And I asked them, how many of you own an ATM card or a debit card? And every kid in the room puts their hand up. I said, what does it cost to take money out of the ATM? And they all had the same answer, $2.50. $2.50. I go, really? They said, yeah, that's what it costs to take money out of any of the ATMs at Phillips Exeter. And I thought to myself, wow, it already cost $46,000 to go to Phillips Exeter. And somehow or another, Phillips is figuring out a way to scrape a few more bucks off all of the kids that go to school there at $2.50. Do you realize that if you use your ATM at the bank where you do your banking, or it's networked to the bank where you do your banking, taking money out of the ATM should be free? That means no cost. So I then go ahead and ask the kids, well, what on average, how much are you taking out of the ATM? They're $20. So wait a second. You're willing to pay a 10.5% sales tax. That's really what it is. Think about it. $2.50 on $20 is roughly 10.25%, if you will. Would you be willing, if you walked into a store to buy something that was worth $20 and they said, no, today it's going to cost you $22.50, even though the retail price says $20, would you do that? Even our own sales tax here in Massachusetts is only about 5%. Why do we continue to allow ourselves to do this stuff? And the reason is the kids finally realized it's convenience. We have become a society of finding conveniences. How many times will you run into a Dunkin' Donuts or a convenience store and spend $2 for a water or $4 for a water at Fenway Park when you full well know that you can buy a bottled water for 13 cents if you buy the 24-pack from Stop and Shop or Market Basket or anywhere else? Why do we do that? We've become a society of convenience. Think, what is Dunkin' Donuts? What is Starbucks? They are societies of convenience. You can make coffee at home. Oh, but it's nothing like going to get coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Really? So when we're starting to complain that says, you know, I feel like I make good money, but I don't know where the money goes. Folks, the money goes to all the stupid places where we keep throwing money around for convenience. That needs to stop. You can get a ride to the airport. You can make your own coffee. You can bring your own lunch. You can wear your clothes more often than having to buy a new outfit every day. That's to you, Mindy, my daughter. My daughter, Mindy's 23 years old. I was using her as an example at Phillips Academy. Mindy is starting at Eaton Vance this June, Eaton Vance Mutual Funds. She's graduating from Babson in May, and she's all excited about being part of the sales program that she's been hired to do. But, you know, all she's worried about is, what am I going to wear? I could have an outfit for each day when the weather's this, the weather's that, or whatever. Mindy, no one's going to care. You have all of these clothes. You have plenty of stuff around. And it's, you're going to do just fine. But, you know, Dad, you know, it's a professional environment. I need to have this. I need to have that. Yeah. It's about convenience. So let's start shopping at TJ Maxx and Kohl's. We don't need to go to Lilly Pulitzer and some of these other foo-foo shops that the kids all seem to think they need closed. Remember when we were growing up, we actually bought pants well, we bought a shirt. Now you have to buy, you know, name brand clothes. You have to get the Coach bag, or you have to have the Sperry shoes, or you have to have the Robert Graham shirt. Everything has to have a name. Why? Why? For who? Now, yeah, you do feel good when you're looking good, and I love to shop at Ghibli's. I really do. They're a great supporter here of the radio station, and I shop there a lot. But I still refer it to as my shirt and my jeans and my suit. I don't have the name for it. Oh, this is my Canali suit. No, you know, when we're talking about kids, we got to get them to settle back. So what we did in the class was I said to the kids, what do you think you'll make when you get out of college? What do you think you're going to start to get paid? And surprisingly, these are kids of Phillips Exeter. And so they're no different from our students that we have in the public schools, because I do a lot of this work in the public schools as well. Nothing changes. They all basically come up with the same answer. I don't know, $10 an hour? $10 an hour? Your parents just spent $63,000 to send you to a private university, and you're going to come out of there working for a job that's going to pay you 10 bucks an hour? They haven't thought of it that way. They begin to realize that the money that mom and dad lay out for school, for dance class, for karate, for baseball, for spring break trips, all of that kind of stuff is a lot of money. And all of a sudden they begin to realize, well, maybe what do I need to make? And so I said, okay, let's expect that when you graduate college, that you'll make somewhere around $35,000 to $40,000 in your first job. And they go, $35,000? Really? $35,000 to $40,000? I said, yeah, well, first of all, $40,000 is 20 bucks an hour, by the way, or around there. So it's double the 10 bucks an hour. But I said, when you graduate college, do you want to go back home and live at home? Well, some of them still think yes, but I think all of us know that you'd much prefer to be out on your own. And so we then begin to play the game as to what it's going to cost to live on your own. And fortunately, I can use my daughter Mindy as an example, because she just rented an apartment in Brighton in the Boston area. She's going to have her own expenses. So I know what the real stuff is right now. And these kids began to realize that making $40,000, which is likely what they're about to make coming out of school, is going to barely be enough to stay even. And chances are it won't be enough, because all of the kids forgot about all the little things that they still have to pay for. I said, who's going to pay for your cell phone? Who's paying for your Netflix account? Who's paying for eating out? Who's paying for food? Oh, did you want to get a barrel for your apartment or a shower curtain for your apartment? Who's paying for all that stuff? And yeah, you want to have roommates. I think that helps. But still, kids begin to realize that they need to take some accountability. And I think I scared them a little bit, and I hope they did. And one of the things that I asked them to do is I said, I want you to think about, with all the stuff that I scared you about today, when you go home today, I want you to sit down with your parents and say, Mom, I got to tell you about something that I did at school today, and I want to thank you. Because I began to realize today how much money you have laid out on my behalf so that I can get a better education, so that I can prepare myself for the future. And I've never really sat back to really think about the fact that ultimately one day that responsibility is going to be on me. And I need to step it up. I need to appreciate the money that you spend, because I will tell you this. I think you all know, if you're a parent, the most thankless job in the world is to be a mother or a father. It's got to be the most thankless job in the world, especially when you have teenagers. But we're all working our best. We're doing our very best to try to teach our kids, to put them in the right position. And sometimes you need that little boost, that little punch ahead to make you have that conversation about money with your children. I'm here to help you along with that. I want you to open your eyes. I don't want to have money as one of these silent conversations that happens in your household and in your life. We talk about money on this show. We got lots more to share, lots more to tell you about in the next segment and segments to follow. One more thing I want to remind you about, if you'd like our free newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday morning around 10:30, actually at 10:30. It lands right in your inbox. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on my website. Just sign into the area that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Put in your email address. Drop me a note. Ask me a question. If you'd like me to come out and visit your school, your Kiwanis Club, your church group, whatever it might be, I'm happy to speak to all of you and any of you on me. No cost. Happy to go out and do it. You let me know. Drop me the message. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. If I had a
million dollars. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great Sunday. It is Sunday. I'm heading off into Boston today. We're going to celebrate with the North Andover Scarlet and Black group. They are this amazing honors chorus that travels all around. They just did some shows at it's not Beaver Country Day. Now, I can't even think of it. It's the one of the schools here in Beverly. But they did a great job performing with a bunch of other schools from all around the country. So congratulations to them. We're going to get to go into Faneuil Hall today and really enjoy the city. I got the pleasure of being a chaperone. So, you know, those are rare opportunities when you're, believe it or not, my kids, two of my boys, they're freshman and sophomore, and they didn't mind me being a chaperone, neither me or my wife. So I thought that was kind of nice. And they let me come in here to the studio this morning to tape the show. Oh, to do the show, and now we're heading off to Boston later on today. Red Sox are playing, Celtics are playing, Bruins are playing. Everyone, it's a very, very busy time here in Boston. Even the Patriots are gathering up their stuff so that they can start early season training camp, and we'll see what they even can put together for us this year. But here we are in studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Earlier in the show, we were talking about a visit that I had made over to Phillips Exeter Academy on Monday, where I got to meet two of the senior classes over there, and we gave them a little reality check about life and financial life skills. It was kind of interesting. I thought I'd continue the conversation with you a little bit and share some of the stories that came out of that, because one of the things that I'm trying to do, one of the commitments that I'm making, is to try to help infuse personal financial life skills into the curriculums throughout the public schools, even personal financial life skills to adults. That's right, to you and me. People that maybe it's your church group that wants to have someone come in and talk about what's going on with the retirement world, what's going on within the markets, what's going on with personal financial issues, what's going on with how do I prepare when my paycheck stops? What do I do? So we asked that to the kids. I asked the kids, what do you think grandma and grandpa do for income now that they're not working? I said, how many of you have grandparents that are still alive? Everybody had one or two grandparents or even more that were alive. And how old are they? Oh, they're generally in their 70s and 80s, they said. I said, are they working? And in all cases in that classroom there, the answer was no. So I said to them, all right, if none of them are working, do they give you birthday presents? Do they take you out for dinner? Do they live in a house or a condo or an apartment? Yeah. I said, well, what are they doing for money? And the kid said, well, Social Security gives that to them. Social Security, really? I said, does anybody have any idea how much Social Security is? And this woman who's sitting to my right says to me, well, isn't it about 70% of your income when you were working? And I reminded her that when we had gone around the room, the kids had told me where they were from. And this woman was from Switzerland. And I said, that may be true in Switzerland, but not true here in the United States. The most people will get from Social Security if you're retiring today is around $2,800 a month. And so that adds up to somewhere around $35,000 or so, $35,000, $36,000. If you're married, you might double that or even get maybe one and a half of that. But still, I've got to believe that grandma and grandpa are living off of more than just their Social Security check. So I guess, well, what are these guys doing? And now they begin to realize that, oh, grandma and grandpa had to save money. They also had to put your mom and dad through college or pay for their dance classes and baseball and everything else. Maybe they sent them to private high school, too, because I was talking to the kids at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire. I asked the group of kids, and they come from all different backgrounds. I asked them, before you came here to school, how many of you on a weekly basis would mow your lawn? One hand went up. This guy grew up in Vermont. I said, how many of you have on a regular basis would go out and not shovel the front walk, not shovel the porch, but shovel your entire driveway? The same hand went up from the kid from Vermont. None other hands went up. Huh. Then I asked them all, how many of you have traveled outside of the country? Every hand went up quickly. I said, that means that each and every one of you have a passport. That's right. I said, did you know that 20% of Americans hold passports in this country? 80% do not. And the vast majority of that 80% have no desire to leave the country. Their big vacation might be to Old Orchard Beach, Maine, or the big trip could be to Disney World or Disneyland, or maybe to one of the national parks, or visiting Mount Rushmore or Nashville. But that's going to be the extent of it. That's the big thing. So I then said to the kids, okay, so let's start thinking about what does it mean? What does it mean to be middle of America from an income standpoint? What does it mean? And I drew this line on the board. I said, there's 350 million people, about 220 million households, people that are paying into our system, people that are, have income, people that would file a tax return or be part of the people that could file a tax return. What is the average household income? Average household income in America. And some kids guessed, I don't know, 200,000. I go, oh boy. The answer is $47,000. That's the average household income. Massachusetts and New Hampshire, average household income is around $70,000. Average household income for the areas of Beverly, Danvers, North Andover, Boxford, about $90,000. And then I asked them this question. I asked them, if you were considered, we've all heard about Elizabeth Warren's the one percenters, the millionaires and billionaires of the world, the big one percenters. Well, how much do you have to make to be part of the 10 percenters, the biggest 10 percenters, the 10% of our population, the people that have income that exceeds 10% of what the rest of the population is? How much would you have to make to be part of that 10%? Their question was, well, is that on an individual basis or on a household basis? No, on a household basis, what is the household income to be considered part of the 10%? You know what that answer is? $120,000. So I'm going to guess that many of our listeners here to this show, certainly from a household income standpoint, may be able to say that they have an income that is either exceeding or approaching $120,000. But I bet you don't feel like the top 10%, do you? You probably feel like the middle class. And so I asked the kids, well, wouldn't $47,000 in income be middle class? And they just didn't know how to respond to that. I said, think about this. It costs $47,000 to go to Phillips Exeter. And that means that if mom and dad make $47,000 a year, they don't even have enough money to get dollars to pay for Phillips Exeter because there's taxes that get taken out of their pay. And all of a sudden, I began to help the kids realize that mom and dad have been working hard. They've been trying to save. They're making money. And all we do is we ask them to stop and buy me a bottled water at Fenway Park for $4. Or stop at Starbucks and get me one of those foofy flavored drinks at $4 a piece. Or I need my Dunkin' Donuts. Or I need. Can't we just go out for lunch today? Can't we just go out for dinner today? I don't want to eat at home. There's nothing to eat here. Can you get me a car? I'm not going to pay for my cell phone. Gas? I don't want to pay for gas. You pay for gas. Insurance? I have to pay for insurance? That's crazy. These kids are going to in for a wake-up call. And my job was to go in and give them that wake-up call. And I think we did. I think we did. Hey, another group that I want to thank also is this past Sunday, a week ago Sunday, I had the opportunity to speak at the Temple Tefereth Shalom Brotherhood in Peabody. We did a financial planning and retirement planning meeting for them. There was about 15 to 20 people that attended the meeting, and it was great. You know, it's really funny. A lot of the guys that were men and women that actually attended were people that, believe it or not, work with me at the B'nai B'rith booth at the Topsfield Fair. So it was interesting to see folks out of the volunteer roles that we play at the fair and see them actually at the temple. They brought their spouses in some cases, and they really asked some really great questions. So this gentleman asks me the question. He says to me, Mark, he says, so what do you think the market's going to do in the next 6 months? And I turn around, I look behind me, and I say, oh, darn it. I forgot my crystal ball. Forgot my crystal ball. And they laughed kind of jokingly. He says, no, but seriously, what do you think the market's going to do in 6 months? I said, well, do you want the CNBC answer or do you want the real answer? He says, well, what's the CNBC answer? The CNBC answer is one of two things. The market's going up 40% or it's crashing to nothing. Because on CNBC, they want to scare the daylights out of you. They want to scare you. The real answer is what's going to happen in the next 6 months? The true answer is I have no idea. The market will go up. The market will go down. He says, well, that doesn't help me. I said, well, if you're looking for an answer to a 6 month performance figure of what the market's going to do, you shouldn't be investing in the market. Just go buy scratch tickets. I think I gave the same advice to Muggs earlier this week. Investing is for the long term. Investing is for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years. You shouldn't worry what's going to happen in the next 3 months or 6 months. Ask yourself this. If you think the market will be higher 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what difference does it make whether you invest in April, May, June, or December? It doesn't matter. Just get invested. All right, we got to take a quick break. Before we get out of here, I want to remind you again of my free weekly newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We will be right back with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Congratulations to Friedman Financial of Peabody on celebrating 50 years of providing financial advice in a language you can understand.
For individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley.
On behalf of North Shore 104.9, we wish our friend Mark Friedman and his team best wishes.
Local companies like his build the tapestry of a vibrant community.
If now's the time to get serious about your retirement planning, visit FriedmanFinancial.com.
That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
And tune in 8 to 9 Sunday mornings for Dollars and Cents.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, our new location. We've been there, well, it's actually, I guess it's kind of now like an old location because we've been there about 9 months already. Hard to believe that. Finally, April is here. Hopefully this cold weather will go away. We'll start to get some more buds on the trees and the flowers will start to open up and I'll start sneezing again. Well, that's what happens. I mean, April, spring comes and it's allergy season. Actually, you can kind of hear it in my throat right now as I'm talking. I think it's just starting to come up and no, I don't need a glass of water because this thing just doesn't seem to want to go away right now. But thank you for joining in. We hope you enjoy this show. We've been doing it for more than 5 years here at North Shore 104.9. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. We've been doing financial planning and we celebrated this week our 50th, if that's such a thing, the 50th anniversary. And interestingly enough, for the past 2 years, we've been planning for our anniversary of April 10th. For whatever reason, I was told that April 10th was the anniversary of our business. And so I was telling my dad about this because dad started the firm back in 1968. Believe it or not, one of the interesting thing about my father, he is one of the founding fathers of the financial planning profession. There was a group of 24, it was all gentlemen at the time, back in the 60s, who became part of a group that formed the financial planning movement. And I credit my father for being, and actually he's credited for it in some of the books that are out there, as one of the founding fathers. So we continue that legacy today, 50 years later, but my father told me Friday when I sent out my newsletter last Friday, which had a little retrospective on the business, he says to me, Mark, April 6th is actually the anniversary. I'm like, are you kidding me? For 2 years, I've been telling you I was going to do this on April 10th. He says, well, it's actually April 6th. Well, give or take a few days, I guess I'm in charge now. So I now say April 10th, and we will use April 10th from now on as the anniversary of our firm. Because I now own it. Dad retired from the business in 2007. I've taken it over since then. So 11 years I've had it owning the business. We brought on a business partner a few years ago. Marion Gilman, who's been with me for 18 years, became a partner of the firm about 5 or 6 years ago. And the two of us are the primary certified financial planners in the office visiting with clients. That's one of the things that's great about my office, I think, is that when we do financial planning, when we're meeting with clients, we meet with you in our office. You don't have to worry about being farmed out, turned away, headed to some junior person or whatever it might be. You get us. It's that simple. But we do it in our office. And interestingly enough, which surprises some folks, but that's okay, we hold our meetings Monday through Friday between 8:30 and 5. No evening appointments, no weekend appointments. And people say, well, Mark, you're missing out on all of the business opportunities. You know what I also miss out when I work on the evenings and the weekends? I miss out spending time with my family. And the number one thing that clients who come to the office say they look forward to doing is spending more time with their children, with their family, getting away and doing stuff. So if I can't be, if my staff even can't be emblematic of what a quality of life looks like, how can I be trying to help you imagine what it is? So my staff works 8:30 to 5. At 5 o'clock, I know where to find them at the exit. That's frankly where I know everyone's going to be around 5 o'clock. They leave. Yeah, Marion and I might stick around until 5:30, 6 o'clock or so. But that's the way we do it because we believe that doing financial planning, to do it right, we need to make sure that we have your utmost attention, that we're not at your house so that you can be distracted by your telephone, your television, a text, your children, food that's cooking in the oven, the dog barking, FedEx guy coming to knock on the door. No, we want you to come into our office so that we can control the distractions, so that we can keep you hyper-focused on you, so that you and your spouse, you and your partner can have that honest conversation amongst one another without being interrupted. That we can really talk about the big picture of your financial life, where everything is and what everything is worth. Because many people in the financial services business figure, well, have I got a product for you? Just like the guy who asked me in the last segment I was talking about, a meeting that I did over at Temple Beth Shalom, and actually now Temple Tefereth Shalom in Peabody. He had asked me a question of, you know, where do I see the market going in 6 months? Or what do I, oh, the other question that they had really asked me was, what do I think of annuities? And that's really not a fair question if you don't know the entire person's situation to say, oh, I just don't like annuities. Well, that's just darn wrong because annuities work out well for a lot of people. Not necessarily many of the clients that we work with, but a lot of people can benefit from annuities. I want you to think of this. Do you know that every single one of us in our lifetime will own an annuity? What do you mean, Mark? We're going to own an annuity. Well, have you ever considered what a pension is? If you're going to collect a pension is an investment where your employer and perhaps you have placed money with an insurance company to guarantee that you will continue to collect income for the rest of your life. Now, it may not be held with the insurance company. It may be held by the actual company that you worked for. But they've given you some guarantees. They've come up with a factor that they might have said, well, you put $300,000 or $400,000 into this program. We'll guarantee to pay you an monthly income stream for the rest of your life. That's what's called an annuity. Your pension is an annuity. You know what else is an annuity? Social Security. So if you don't like Social Security and you don't like pensions, well, then I guess you don't like annuities either. But if you are accepting a pension or you're accepting a Social Security, then I guess you could be okay with it. So to say whether I like annuities or don't like annuities, it's probably not a fair statement. Now, when you think about annuities in a portfolio, you have to weave that into whether it makes sense for your whole situation. And the only way to know that is to do more than just asking someone, well, how old are you? How long do you think you're going to live? And what's your risk tolerance? Is that a fair question? Does anybody really know what their risk tolerance is? I really don't believe people know what their risk tolerance is. Risk tolerance to me is how you're feeling that day. How many days have you woken up Well, you're feeling really good about the prospects of what the day is going to bring. What's your risk tolerance then? You're willing to take more risks because you think things will be better. And then you wake up another day and you're just feeling miserable. What's your risk tolerance there? Your risk tolerance is, I don't want to do anything. Everybody, or what do you feel about the market? Or what do you feel about your kids' prospects of doing well when they get out into the real world? That's all predicated on probably the conversation you had with them for dinner that night. There are days you love your kids and deals you want to throw the kids out the window, right? I mean, I know how that feels. You don't do it, fortunately. At least I haven't tried that yet. I threaten, but no, I have not quite done that yet. Five kids, you know, we threaten a lot. But we've got great kids. I really do. And I know, you know, we all think our kids are great. But there are days, aren't they, when you think that, man, this is more of a risk than I'm willing to take. Well, here's something about risk. I want you to think about the word risk for a minute. Think about the word risk for a minute. Risk can be defined by three letters, and I call them the ATM theory. If you want to try to understand risk, you have to ask yourself, which components of the ATM theory am I willing to take? Well, think about this. ATM stands for avoid. So if you wanted to take a risk on something, you can avoid it completely, right? So if you want to avoid putting your money at risk in the stock market, can you avoid it? You sure can. And how do you do that? By buying an FDIC insured account at the bank. Guaranteed. You have avoided market risk. Now, you haven't avoided inflation risk. You haven't avoided interest rate risk, but you have avoided market risk. What's another thing that you can do to manage risk? Well, it's the M principle, which is manage your risk. You can manage your risk by, you've heard the term, don't put all your eggs in one basket, which means that you want to diversify a little bit. Now you're managing your risk a little bit. And the third thing that you can do is you can transfer the risk. Now, how do you transfer risk? Well, think about this. Would you prefer to be responsible for paying somebody after you hit them with your car or after they slipped on your front walk? Or coming up with money after you died? Well, you wouldn't come up with it. You'd be dead. That's called transferring risk. Insurance companies are known to help you transfer risk. They assume the responsibility and you pay for that transfer purpose. So if you want to think about risk from personal risk, is either avoid, transfer, or manage, ATM. Something to think about. We'll continue to follow managing risk because that's a big question that comes up, especially with the market being as crazy and as volatile as it's been over the past few weeks and few months. Now, it's really not as volatile as you might think. Just because the market moves up or down 400 or 500 points is not really that volatile when the market is sitting around 23,000. Now, if the market was at 10,000 and it moved up and down 300 and 400 points, that's a whole nother story. But it's not that. It's not that. We have to understand risk. When you hear that the market went down 500 or even 2,000 points, you didn't lose all of your money. You had some volatility, but you have to understand how the market that gets reported in the newspaper, on TV, and your social media is different from the performance of your investment account. And it all has to tie back into your big picture about your overall financial life, over about everything in your life, not just that investment account. At Friedman Financial, that's what we do each and every day. We look at the big picture of your financial life. We give you financial advice in a language you can understand by helping you understand where everything is and what everything is worth before ever making an investment or insurance or any type of implementation strategy. There's lots more to learn, lots more to talk about, but we've got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine whether you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life in retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, still the same guy that was here three segments ago. Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located you know where, Peabody, Massachusetts, at 41 Cross Street, just above the fabulous, the taste Also, Orno Restaurant. If you haven't been over there, take a visit over. Visit my friend Ernesto, who's manager of the restaurant. Go visit Alyssa, who's the manager of the bar. And of course, if you know the Mamola family, Dan and Daniela Mamola, tell them that they got three of the best restaurants in town at Daniela's, at Palana, and of course, at Alto Forno. We are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And we've been doing that, well, in our office now, it was 50 years as of Tuesday. 50 years we've been providing that. You know, this is a business, interestingly enough, as someone called me earlier this week, they said, Mark, you know, congratulations on your accomplishment of 50 years. Yours truly is a business that has stood the test of time. Think about how many businesses that you know that have been around, local businesses that you know that have been around for 50 years. And I really had not given that much thought as to what 50 years in business really means. But we're in a business that is not selling televisions or vacuum cleaners or, and realistically, where would you go to buy a vacuum cleaner today? We are not the Leachmere. Remember Leachmere? Everyone used to run to the Leachmeres and we would go there. You used to go to video arcades. My parents used to drop me off at Aladdin's Castle over at the North Shore Mall. Or actually, I think Aladdin's Castle might have been at the Liberty Tree Mall. There actually used to be a Liberty Tree at the Liberty Tree Mall. Think about Ann and Hope. Think about all the places that have come and gone. Bradley's, Caldor, all the places that you and I went to. Woolworth's, all of these places that we went to as kids. Almy's, they just keep popping into my head. Remember the Jordan Marsh blueberry muffins? Weren't those some of the best that you could go? You'd go to Jordan Marsh to go get blueberry muffins there. You would have KB Toys and Toys R Us and all of these other places. Some are going out. Toys R Us just closed, what, a couple weeks ago. Sears is probably on the way out pretty soon. So is probably JCPenney as far as we know. But things change. I mean, what you thought was the most powerful, the strongest, the most successful companies 50 years ago have not quite stood the test of time. But why has Friedman Financial stood that test of time? And it gave me a moment to sit back and pause and think about why have we stood the test of time? Well, here's a couple things that I think are important because, look, you've got some of the biggest firms around, whether it's Merrill Lynch, whether it's Charles Schwab, and some of these companies have merged. I mean, look, Merrill Lynch is now owned by Bank of America. Charles Schwab still exists on its own, but I don't even know that they've been around for 50 years. But some of these firms, what was the name of E.F. Hutton? Remember the commercials for E.F. Hutton when E.F. Hutton speak? Oh, my broker's with E.F. Hutton. Shh. And everybody turned and stopped talking and they'd lean their ear because when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Remember that? What happened to E.F. Hutton? Well, they got bought by someone who then got bought by someone who then got bought by someone. I think one of the reasons that Friedman Financial has stood the test of time is because we've stayed true to our roots. We have remained independent. We have been focused on the investor rather than the shareholder. We have not fallen under corporate bureaucracy who has told us what we need to do. We have truly been able to continue to put the spirit of placing the client's interests first, always. And it amazes me. I'm honored when I think back that some of the clients that my dad started with in 1968 still remain clients today. They've introduced their family, their children, their grandchildren, their nieces, their coworkers, their nephews. They've introduced them to our firm. And for those that have been with our firm and those that remain with our firm, I want to say thank you to you because I honestly believe we have some of the best clients in the world. Because you're all faced with a vulnerable question when you walk into my office. And that vulnerable question that we ask of you is to tell me about your overall financial situation. And that can be scary sometimes. Think about that. How often have you really had an open and honest and complete discussion about your overall financial situation? Now, granted, we are not an office that provides credit counseling. That's not my business. We are an office that wants to help you get your arms around all of the work that you've done to try to take you to your retirement years. We want to help crystallize it. We want to help you see that all of those boxes that you've accumulated with all this stuff in it, that box with a 401k plan, an IRA, a 403b plan, an annuity contract, a pay stub, a benefits booklet, an insurance policy, life insurance, all these different types of things. And you go, oh my God, I've got all this stuff. I've got all these different reps, people that represent all of these different companies. I got banks soliciting me to move my money here. I get invited to free lunches and free dinners by attorneys' firms. My friends are telling me I got to buy this, or I need to have this trust, or I need to do that, or I need to sell my home. I need to move to Florida, or I need to downsize. I shouldn't be buying my car. I should be leasing my car. Everybody has an opinion, right? And nobody has a situation just like yours. And the hardest thing to do when you're trying to figure out your personal financial situation is to think that some kind of piece of software and some type of algorithm will somehow spit out the right answer to you. The answers that Susie Orman, for instance, offers up on television, are those answers that are directed at you? No, they're directed at what's called the mass market. She isn't asking all the questions. She's answering a question. And she has to do it in such a way that is so generalized that it may or may not even relate to you. You need financial advice, especially if you're wondering how will you replace your paycheck when it's time to retire. You see, at Friedman Financial, we look at a lot of different parts of your life. And it all starts by doing this. It starts with a free initial consultation. And I know this segment kind of sounds like a commercial, but frankly, isn't every radio show. And today we're celebrating our 50th anniversary. And I think I owe it to you, to our listeners, to understand why we're so proud at Friedman Financial of what we do, why we're so proud of the clients that we've served, and why I believe the clients with whom we've served and continue to serve remain satisfied with the relationship that they have. It's because it all started with a conversation. And when you came into my office for a free initial consultation, I basically asked you the question, so tell me why you're here. Tell me more about your story. Tell me about how you've dealt with money in the past. What are some of the smartest decisions that you've made? What are some of the dumbest decisions you've made? Where do you wish you had positioned money elsewhere? What type of risk do you want to take? What does risk mean to you? What are you hoping to accomplish in your 70s, 80s, and 90s? Those are important questions. Have I even looked at your investment statements yet? No. But the first thing that most investment advisors will ask you is, let me see your statement. We may not even get to looking at your statement during your first meeting. We likely will towards the end because you'll be dying to show it to us. But chances are first, we're going to understand who you are and what you really, really want to accomplish. And chances are you've never really had that thoughtful conversation with anybody. You've thought you've had it, but you've never really been guided along with the conversation. Because one of the important questions that you need to figure out in retirement, tougher than anything else, is what do you think you will need to spend in retirement? Because if you don't know what you think you're going to need to spend, how do you know whether you have enough money? It's not a matter of whether you're buying stocks, bonds, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, alternative funds, cryptocurrencies, whatever it is that you might want to buy. That doesn't matter. If you don't know where everything is, what everything is worth, and what you will need to what you need to spend to support your lifestyle, game over. It doesn't matter how you invest. In fact, when you don't know, you choose to take more risk because you want to be sure that you won't run out. And what I've learned through many people who live here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley, many people who come to us, and most of you are over the age of 50 or 55, you come to us with this whole bucket, folder, box, bag full of stuff. And you go, here, someone look at it all. Look at my tax return. Look at my trust. Look at my bank statements. Look at my investment statements. Help me understand my IRAs, my Roths, my 401ks, my 529 plans, my insurance policies, my annuities, everything, my pay stubs, advice and these deals that I bought with my friends. And help me understand it all. Put it all together in a nice, tight fashion, so that I can see it on one piece of paper where I stand financially, and then you can begin to give me some guidance as to whether it's possible for me to achieve my goal. And you know what's interesting about retirement? One of the things that I've learned, when you think about your grandparents retiring, when they retired, you know what that meant? We're done working. I am no longer working, as they said, for the man anymore. I'm going to take my pension, I'm going to take my Social Security, I'm going to draw a little bit of money from my bank account that pays 10-15% back then, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to live a simple life. I'm going to, we're going to eat dinner at home pretty much every day. My wife's going to be into baking. I'm going to take care of this. I mean, this is very sexist, I guess. I mean, this is what life was like back then, is the woman was doing the baking at home, taking care of the laundry. The father was outside cutting the lawn, shoveling the driveway. That's what happened. Now, that is not the case today, and I think it's great that everyone's participating in every activity of household and domestic life. But it was very simple back then. It meant maybe you'd go on a cruise back then when you retired. Remember the Love Boat? That's what the Love Boat was all about, was going on that cruise. And remember, they threw the confetti and all the stuff off the edge, just did boom, boom. You know, the thing would start to sound. And what was his name? Who's the bartender from, who's the bar? Isaac. That's right. Isaac. Isaac would come around and he'd offer you up your drinks. And Doc would come around and check, be sure you're okay. And Julie McCoy would make sure that you were having the time of your life aboard the ship that Captain Steubing would steer and take you through all sorts of ports of call. But that would be that one-time event in retirement, because you know what would happen 30, 40 years ago when you were 65 and you retired? You died next. That's what happened. In 1935, when Social Security was created, life expectancy was 65 years old. Today, Social Security, you can start collecting it at 66 or soon to be 67. And life expectancy is 81, 82, 83. That's not what Social Security had anticipated back then. But nevertheless, we continue to have that as our sources of income for some. We have pensions for others, but we've got to put it all together. So when we're meeting with our clients, we have that enforced first important conversation. Make sure we know where everything is, what everything is worth. And then we're going to build that net worth statement for you. We're going to show you. We are going to show you where everything is, how it all works. And then we're going to start to give you advice. We're going to tell you, based upon what you have right now, are you on track? If you do nothing, are you on track to achieving your goals? And if you are, great. Let's show you whether it's you're doing it the best possible way or there's a way to do it better. Or number two, are you not? Do you need to make some changes? Perhaps you're not taking enough risk in your portfolio. Perhaps you're taking too much risk. Perhaps, like many people who retire at 65, you say, you know what? I may retire from my current job, but I still got to do something. I'm feeling great at 65. In fact, I'm feeling great at 80. Maybe you want to be a starter on a golf course. Maybe you want to work in a sewing place where you can teach people how to sew and knit Afghans or whatever it might be. Maybe you want to bag groceries, or maybe you still want to help people fix computers. We've got an 80-year-old client right now who loves going to people's homes to show other seniors how to fix their computer, because the computer business can be intimidating, and it's a skill that he developed. There's lots of opportunities out there. We want to make sure that we are your guide. We are your coach to helping make sure that you are experiencing the best possible retirement life you want. And you see it on our screen. You see it up there, and we update it and we monitor it and we show you your progress. We show you your performance, but we also show you how you're doing towards achieving your goals. Will you run out of money? How long will that money stretch? And in many cases, what we're finding with many families here on the North Shore and in the Merrimack Valley, you have more money than you think. That's right. You have more money than you think. And chances are, if you don't spend more money, you're likely to leave your children quite wealthy. And you know what happens after that? You might think, well, that's great. My kids will have all this money. Your kids are going to blow it. They're going to spend the money. We average one death a month in my office. And that's just because we've been doing it since 1968. This past week has been our 50th anniversary. We know how to handle personal financial issues through every stage in your life. And we primarily focus on when it's time to stop the paycheck, replace the paycheck, and turn what you have into income so that you can support your life. That's the focus, a big part of our business. And then it's also the stages that follow thereafter. We have become expert in that area. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, if now is the time for you to schedule a free initial consultation in our office, join us as we celebrate our 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley, and of course, the Southern New Hampshire area as well. We'd be delighted to meet with you. We'd be delighted if you'd like to collect our newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday, 10:30, each and every Friday. We're approaching our 500th weekly issue. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. freedmanfinancial.com, and you can get our free newsletter. You just put in your email address. You want to send me a little message, I promise to respond to you. But I also promise you this. Just because you sign up for my newsletter does not mean I'm calling you to pester you. I will not. Financial planning is one of those things that when the time is right for you, that's when you'll call us. I'm not going to tell you that now is the right time for you to do anything. This is a collective decision. We do this together. We'll do it right. And that's why we can say that our firm has stood the test of time for 50 years, strongly and proudly, right here in Peabody, Massachusetts. And I got to get out of here. That's going to do it for us today. We will be back again next Friday with more, next Sunday, I should say, with more financial advice in a language you can understand. Have a great day.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Congratulations to Friedman Financial of Peabody on celebrating 50 years of providing financial advice in a language you can understand.
For individuals and families on the North Shore and Merrimack Valley.
On behalf of North Shore 104.9, we wish our friend Mark Friedman and his team best wishes.
Local companies like his build the tapestry of a vibrant community.
If now's the time to get serious about your retirement planning, visit FriedmanFinancial.com.
That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
And tune in 8 to 9. Sunday mornings for Dollars and Cents.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.